Hey, guys, it's Jen. We are back. I'm Jen, so who are you?
I'm Carrie.
There we go. All right, guys, we did Babes and Bods of the MCU last week. Speaking of the MCU, tonight we are premiering Loki Season 2, the first miniseries ever to get a Season 2. Hopefully. You know, I intend to watch it as soon as it premieres at 9 p.m. this evening. We're going to see just how good the wait, you know, see if the wait was worth it, see just how good it's going to be.
They've released the first three episodes to a lot of critic houses. And they have given some they released it because they knew it was going to be good. Obviously.
Right.
And certainly people that, the critics are giving it very high marks.
Oh, well, now, see, that's a good sign, usually, but, you know, there's always that the critics love it, the audience hates it type deal. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to wait and see. Like I said, I intend to be glued to my TV, or actually I'm going to be glued to my Kindle because that's where I'm watching it. This evening, after we get done recording, I'm going to be waiting with bated breath to see I really want to see how they open it with the way they ended things.
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to see that, addressed.
Yes, definitely. Oh, yeah, after the podcast, remind me and I will give you the Disney Plus information so that you can watch it tonight if you would like. So,
be away from Gen V.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've been watching Amazon Prime's Boys spinoff because I can't watch Disney Plus. but I can't wait to watch. You know, that's, and thank you.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to watch it. People are saying that it is very cinematic and has the budget and the look of Marvel movies.
Right. Now that I have heard that.
Yeah.
So, we'll just have to wait and see.
Looked amazing.
We will just have to wait and see. Not for very long, though. We'll have to wait for a couple more hours. That's about it. And on that note, I have not heard any new Johnny news or Hiddleston news. How about you?
Nope, just the Loki stuff.
Right. Okay, well, we are doing Babes and Bods of the Caribbean, and that sounds like it should be really difficult. However, the babes part, I could only find four babes that even were worth noting, so.
I could do a top three on the babes, and they're pretty easy.
I could do a top three. That would let me kill the fourth one that I really don't like anyway. So,
right, that you didn't want to do.
Well, I mean, she's hot and everything. I just don't like her.
Oh, was it the character?
No, the actress.
Oh, the actress. Okay, well, then let's absolutely skip that one. You're right.
We'll do a top three babes then. All right, you're number three.
So, Karina.
Karina?
Karina.
You mean Tia Dalma?
So it was, she was in.
She was in the third one. She was the witch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Naomi Harris.
Well, you know, what am I saying? Yeah, and Naomi Harris is, I mean, she's attractive, yes. She's a great actress.
Yes.
When she ended up doing Karina, she ended up doing the brunette thing.
Oh, wait, because we're talking about two different ones then. Naomi Harris is the one that played Tia Dalma that turned into the Spirit of the Sea at the end.
No, this one. Oh, sorry. No. Pardon me. This was her name. So, Kaya Scodelario.
Oh, okay. She did not make my list. Wow.
I think she was also in the Maze Runner movies. She was the female lead.
Okay. Which Pirates was she in? Because I'm sorry, I'm kind of biased. I only like the first three.
Well, okay. Okay. So it was tough for me to do this because I really only liked the first 2.5. I mean,
okay.
It was okay. And you're right. It's kind of hard to just go back there to the fourth and the fifth ones, and there weren't any memorable characters. I'm pretty much doing this from the first three movies, from both the guys and the women.
Me as well.
They made such an impression.
Yes, definitely. Now, the fourth one, the mermaid, made a very huge impression on me, but she was the only one.
Yeah, cool character.
Yup.
But
I couldn't tell you anything about the fourth one, except that there was a mermaid.
When you overall look at you personally as a big fan, a fan of Johnny and a fan of the franchise.
Right.
When you're looking over Pirates of the Caribbean, did they end up, and a lot of people say it's the first three movies. Gotcha. Just like they do with Star Wars.
Right.
And, Jedi, or Star Trek.
Right.
Is there order where you can rank those three movies from best to worst, or do they switch back and forth on a given day?
I have my favorite. My favorite is number three. Love the redemption arc that Jack Sparrow goes through in number three.
It seemed like you really got him defined as a character.
Right. And, he could have stabbed the heart himself and taken that immortality for himself, which is that's what he's been looking for throughout the entire series up to that point, is immortality. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to have to pay for the things that he's done in this life. So, he could have taken that, and he could have taken the immortality, and he could have lived, or not lived, however you want to call it, forever. Instead, he gave it to Orlando Bloom's character. He gave it to Will Turner to save him, and so that he wouldn't die. So, the redemption arc in the third one, I just really, really, really liked.
Yeah, it seems so Johnny, too. It wasn't about the money or the immortality. It was, a man at the turning point that decided there was more.
Right. There was more to life.
Yeah, that was, to me, and I love one, and he's a fantastic actor.
One ranks number two for me. The second one is my third favorite.
Yeah, okay.
So for me, it goes 3, 1, and 2.
Okay. Well, I think that you and I can agree that number one was just an amazing beginning to a franchise.
Oh, my God, yes. And considering the fact that this entire franchise is based on a ride at Disneyland.
Actually, if I can expand on it, not only a ride at Disneyland, but Johnny Depp.
Right?
You really, that those photos that you've posted and that we've seen online of Depp posing by the new Captain Jack Sparrow animatronic.
Right.
I'm like, man, this is literally several timelines diverging in fantastic directions.
Have you seen the clips? And, gentle listener, if you have not seen these clips, you can find them on YouTube, where Johnny Depp actually took the place of the animatronic Captain Jack Sparrow on the ride at Disneyland.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
It is incredible because, they redid after the first movie came out. They redid the entire set for the ride so that the characters on the ride look like the characters in the movie.
Yes.
So, of course, there was Captain Jack Sparrow, and they looked like Johnny Depp and all this. So people that have, the season passes and stuff were used to seeing that. So it wasn't a big surprise. But there were a lot of new people that were really surprised, and then he started walking and talking. And people were like, "Huh? Was that? No, there's not. Was that really? Oh my God!" Perfect. It was great. Oh, but however, that is not the first movie that was based on a ride at Disney World. Do you know the first one?
And I'm thinking, because yeah, you're right. We're old kids.
Oh, my kids know this movie. Jungle
Rides, right?
Huh?
Was it one of the Jungle Rides?
Nope.
What was it?
Haunted Mansion.
What? Well, what movie was Haunted Mansion from?
Haunted Mansion is the name of the movie and the ride.
And what year was Haunted Mansion the movie?
Okay, give me a second.
Are you talking like...
I'm talking Eddie Murphy.
They did that before Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was like two Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Oh, my God. What? Oh. That was an awful movie. Him, Terrence Stamp, who is a great actor. And I love both those guys. And they just... it was sucky.
Haunted Mansion the movie. Let's see.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gracious. They have re-released it in 2023. It came out in 2012. So, it came out just... Wait, I think Black Pearl was 2011. Give me a second. I may be wrong. Haunted Mansion may be the second one. Let's see.
Yeah, I think so. Didn't the original Pirates of the Caribbean come out in, like, 2010?
That's what I'm looking right now. Okay, Stranger Tides came out in 2011. Dead Man's Chest came out in 2006. The original Pirates of the Caribbean came out in 2003. So I was wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Pirates of the Caribbean was the first. Haunted Mansion was the second.
And, gentle listeners, please allow Jen and I to pause while we age 10 years.
What? Shush! I'm not aging. Nope, I have one more birthday coming up in March, and once that birthday is done, that is it. I get no older. Nope, not going to do it.
Wow, so, okay, so, yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean's been going on, man.
2003, so, oh, crap, this is their 20-year anniversary.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now I am aging 10 years.
Now, that's what I was talking, yes, now you feel me.
Oh, man, that's okay.
That said, I would also like to volunteer. This is still a better franchise than Harry Potter.
You are better bite your tongue. I bite your tongue before I tie a knot in it.
Hot take.
Actually, I will grant that the movies are better than the Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
But the original seven books, the original storyline through the first seven books that J.K. Rowling, no matter what her political views, she's a damn good writer. But yeah, the first seven books, the books themselves, I have not, there's only one series that rivals it, and it's a 14-book series called Wheel of Time. We're not going there.
You know, this is very probably a future Christmas gift, but I ended up doing some research on Stranger Tides.
Okay.
And apparently they adapted that off of this pirate book that was crossed with the supernatural in the early 80s, and it was actually pretty successful. That's how the people at Disney knew about it.
What's the name of the book?
It's called On Stranger Tides.
Okay.
The original book is, and they give acknowledgement to it, apparently, and the credits and that sort of thing. So Disney did write on that. They do give credit that it's not based off of an original Disney idea.
Awesome.
But the original was a 1983 book that was a pirate adventure that was crossed with the supernatural.
Very cool.
And they say it is an amazing book, and it is better than the movie, but you being a person that reads, you're always talking about books that are better than the movie. So, you know, that might be, yeah, a pretty good Christmas gift.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. I would have to say that would probably be, usually books are a good bet with me. Books are usually a pretty good bet as far as any kind of Christmas, birthday, you know, whatever. But anyway, okay, what character does your... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff always made you kind of look into history, too. You know, I've kind of learned a lot, you know,
from
this particular...
The backstories that you don't see in the movies particularly interest me.
Dude, so deep, right?
Look at Gibbs. In the very beginning of the first movie, he's on a ship. He's a naval officer on a ship.
Yeah.
And then he's the first mate on the Black Pearl. How in the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
He jumped ship when Johnny was labeled a pirate, when Jack Sparrow was labeled a pirate. He jumped ship with Jack. Jack was labeled a pirate for stealing cargo. He was taking slaves to the New World and decided that no man had a right to own another and let the slaves loose. That is why he was labeled a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, look into that.
Yeah, it's those backstories that really interest me as far as the pirate series go.
And it really developed a lot of America. It developed a lot of Europe. You know, we hear about the Civil War, the French Revolution, the American.
Right.
But those pirate actions absolutely influenced those 13 colonies.
Oh, most definitely. And I mean, even today you hear about, oh, their pirates attacked this ship or pirates attacked that convoy. And, you know, to me, it brings to mind the black flag and the eye patch and the big hat and, you know, of course, that's not how the pirates operate nowadays, but.
Yeah, no, but back then they had big guns on that ship, and
those little cannons that you see, those are not what was on a pirate ship.
They did bloody boardings.
Oh yeah,
but they would take like military ships and just like ride it till the wheels fell off, if you will, with the sails.
Oh yeah,
bomb shit.
Most of your pirates back then were pretty much like the Dread Pirate Roberts. Never left people alive.
It's so interesting when you know, and I'm glad that we're comparing the MCU through Tom and the pirates through Johnny, because this is a pretty brutal universe, really, that Johnny is occupying compared to the Marvel one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an entire world.
The pirates, movies address death.
They do.
And, those scenes in, like, the first Avengers movie where, let's face it, thousands of people died in that city.
Yes, thousands of people died in New York. In a lot of the fan fiction that, because I do read a lot of the fan fiction. Nakoa Momori is one of my favorites. But in a lot of the fan fiction, they address that. About, how many people died and the families that lost members because of the takeover and, the attempted takeover and all of that, so.
Yeah, I think we all remember, like, that it was, 30 minutes. I mean, it was just carnage for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's all it was. Pure. Although, I am disappointed that the little waitress that came forward... to talk about how Captain America saved her life, didn't show back up in any of the other movies. That was a little disappointing.
You know, I think there's a petition out for her to, yeah. And that actress has actually talked about it.
Oh, yeah, and she's cute as she can be, too.
Oh, yeah, she's perfect.
All right. Okay, so back to your number three. I am so sorry we got sidetracked. So, character does the actress play?
Gary? Hang on, I already advanced my number two.
Oh, okay, go to your number two. Actually, my number three.
My number two? Yeah, actually, you owe me number
two. Okay, my number three, believe it or not, my number three is Keira Knightley.
Okay.
She was classic and polished, and she was amazing in that role. No, I don't know of, well, I know of maybe one or two actresses that might have been able to pull off both the style and the polish, as well as the ass-kicking pirate, the one who had the guts to chain Jack to his ship to save the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know a few that could have pulled it off. Scarlett Johansson and Charlize Theron are two that come to mind. But, you know, Keira did brilliantly. She was only 17, I believe, when she started that role.
Yes. Quite young.
So, you know, but she was brilliant. She was amazing. And let's face it, she was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And I think you're right. She's got some acting chops. You know, I can see her being in a Helen Mirren or a Meryl Streep.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, down the line. Disney, with Pirates, they really concentrated on recruiting great talent.
Instead of just pretty faces. Now, they got some pretty faces, too. Don't get me wrong.
They have to act. Right.
But, you know, like Orlando Bloom is an amazing actor.
Yes.
Johnny Depp. Kevin McNally, who played Gibbs. You know, all of these people are absolutely amazing actors and actresses.
They pulled in Bill Nighy.
Yes!
Which is on my list.
Is he? Okay, well, we're going to get there. All right, you're number two.
All right, for hunks or hotties?
For hotties.
You know, I am going to go. So my number two is Keira Knightley.
Okay.
Yep.
She didn't make number one on either one of our lists.
Nope. So close, though. Well, she was two on yours and two on mine.
No, she was three on mine.
Three on yours. Okay. So I'm going to. Okay. So she was fantastic in the role. If you could have done a replacement, very possibly I would name Natalie Portman, but I think Keira Knightley, that's her thing.
Natalie Portman, she could have done the acting, but I don't know that she could have pulled off the polish the way Keira Knightley did.
Yeah. She's like almost there. You know?
Right. Right. Don't get me wrong. Natalie Portman is, again, beautiful. She's extremely talented. But there is an edge to her that Keira Knightley did not have in the first couple of movies.
Yes. Oh, whoa. Okay. Oh, whoa. Okay. Yeah. I think that's really important. Yeah.
Well, if you're playing a pretty bit of fluff, which, you know, not saying because she turned into a dynamic badass by the end of it, but at the beginning, you kind of get the idea that Keira Knightley's character is a pretty bit of fluff. And, you know, there's something about, there's an edge, like I said, to Natalie Portman. I don't think she could have pulled off the fluffy bunny routine.
No, I agree. No, yep. The evolution of the character, would have to be Keira before Natalie. Right. I agree. You're right.
And she was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was a fantastic character evolution. You're right.
All right, my number two. Naomi Harris, the one who played Tia Dalma.
Okay, yeah. I think she was my number four, and I ended up confusing them. Yeah, she's great, right?
Oh, yeah. As an actress, now when you look her up, you're going, that's not Tia Dalma. Tia Dalma was like 30, and yeah, okay, she's an actress. Come on, guys.
Right.
The Tia Dalma character was so impressive. You know, she gives Jack a jar of dirt. Will the jar of dirt help? If you don't want it, give it back. No. Then it helps. I mean, her character was just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved it. And there was just something, even when she was trapped in the mortal body, because as, you know, if you remember the movies, she became the spirit of the sea in the third movie. She was the spirit of the sea trapped in a human body. But even before you knew that, there was something extremely sexy about her.
Yeah. And it does take you back to like the sirens.
Yes.
And the sea nymphs, you know, that would lure you to your underwater doom.
They'd lure you to your death because you would pay nothing, you would pay no attention to anything but them.
And it was their domain. You know, once you get in the water, you may be an extremely experienced sailor, but you're a land dweller.
And I have to point this out. All right, we have conquered land. We've conquered the sky, even. The only realm on this earth that we have not conquered is the sea. And now we know why.
Well,
because the spirit of the sea was let loose. Yeah, I know.
When?
They let her loose on the ship, remember?
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, gotcha.
All right. So, drum roll, please. Who is your number one?
All right, are we talking hotties or hunks?
Oh, we're still going on babes here.
So, babes, I'm sorry, it's Zoe Saldana.
All right. My number one is Zoe Saldana.
Yep.
She was so cute and forceful and dynamic all at the same time.
Dangerous as shit.
Dangerous as hell.
Yep.
You stole my boat.
That was actually like top two Pirates of the Caribbean scary scenes. I knew how it was gonna, end, obviously. But I was like, shit.
Yeah, because you didn't know she looked like she was about to take Jack's throat.
Oh, she's one for the fences and got a home run.
Oh, I'm telling you, his little head would have been like, oh, but oh, but oh.
That was a time where Sparrow was in danger.
Oh, yeah. Really. I think he was closer to death there than he was any other time in the movie.
Yeah, right. You know, you think of Luke Skywalker in danger, Indiana Jones in danger. I'd rather be those guys than Johnny.
There you go. Facing one tiny, tiny little pissed off pirate.
He pulled it off, thank God. Shit.
But yeah, she is definitely my number one. She just, her character, there wasn't a whole lot of character development, which I'm sorry for that. I wish there had been. But she pops up in some of the most extraordinary, scenes where you don't expect her. And then all of a sudden she's there and you're like, whoa. Oh, it's her. Okay.
apparently, and, you talk about the fanfic stuff, she pops up as a hugely popular character in the fanfics.
Yes, she does.
Obviously.
Yes, she does. And she is just as dynamic as an actress as she is as her character is in Pirates.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, it's always sideline parts. It's always the smaller the bit parts, but they're always important parts. So, yeah, she's just amazing all the way around, as well as being absolutely gorgeous.
She's a major ship with
Sparrow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If I could not, if I had to pick one member of the cast, if I could not meet Johnny and had to pick one member of the cast to meet, it would probably be her.
And, you know, huge crossover, you know, easy segue to the MCU. You know, she's Gamora.
What?
Well, she's Gamora.
Oh, my. You're right.
Guardians of the, yes. It's,
oh, my. Okay.
What?
You've done it to me, Carrie. You've done it to me this time. My mind is blown because I knew that. I knew that when we did the MCU last week. I knew that. But the name did not trigger when I did my list. So, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, let me blow your mind one more time.
Okay.
In the Star Trek reboot movies that J.J. Abrams did.
Right.
She's Uhura.
Blink. What?
Yes. So Zoe Saldana has become like a high powered. Okay, and we were talking about Keira Knightley or, you know, Natalie Portman.
Right.
You know, being Elizabeth. You have these actresses that they do amazing things outside of their franchise, but
right.
Scarlett Johansson will always be Black Widow.
Black Widow, yes.
Even
though she's done any number of things before and after.
Keira Knightley will always be Elizabeth. She ended up occupying, you know, that one.
Yep.
Portman, technically, she's...
To me, she is always going to be Anakin's love.
Yep, exactly. And so they all kind of, and when you were saying, I don't think that Natalie Portman could be Elizabeth, I agree, not only because Carrie is just the better choice, but because she was already, you know, Amidala.
Right.
And it would have kind of lessened it.
It kind of would. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. There is one character not here in the Pirates movies, but besides Johnny, of course, but there is one character, Luke Skywalker. What's his name? Hamill. Mark Hamill. He fought the Luke Skywalker persona and never really broke out of it. Well, Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter.
Yes.
He has done some amazing things. And when you think of Daniel Radcliffe, you automatically think Harry Potter, but that's not the only thing you think of.
Exactly. Yes. Harry Potter and...
And Zoe is... Or Zoe, I'm sorry. Zoe. Is the same way. You don't automatically think one part for her.
No.
You think dozens.
She's everywhere and she kills it every single time. I can't think of a bad thing. But she was in The Losers. She was in Columbiana, where she was the female lead and it was a very physical, badass female part.
Right.
She was a African-American / South American like Bolivia, and it was a drug cartel movie. And
I need to watch this.
Oh, it came out like 8 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And
well, you got to remember, I haven't owned a TV in like four. So
she was doing like Hemsworth in Extraction and Extraction 2. It was a like army military film.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That girl's arms, by the way, look like metal and fiber.
I did know that. That's why they had her wear long sleeves in all of the Pirates movies.
Mm-hmm. Would not have looked right.
Right. because she is, it's not just her arms, ladies and gentlemen. This girl has a rocking body that will not quit. I mean, she is toned from the top of her head to the soles of her feet.
You're right. She would probably be an amazing NFL player or college level or what have
you. Dude, she would run half the NFL players that are out there today into the dirt.
You know, I wonder if, you know, the MCU makes you kind of work out if you're the lead.
No. They make you work out, period. There is an MCU. Period. There is an MCU training program that you have to go through before you are even considered for a part.
And I understand it's long and it's hard.
It's 6 weeks and it's brutal.
Oh, you're right, right.
Yeah, these guys, I'll put it this way. If you look at Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
In, let's see. Yeah, he's still pretty buff in High Rise. I'm trying to think. One of his younger movies. Archipelago is one of them.
Pretty early.
Oh, yeah. He's
lean.
He's lean, but he doesn't have that. He's soft. He doesn't have that muscle tone that you're used to seeing in the Loki character. Yeah, he put on 35 pounds of muscle. When he went to try out for the Thor character. And yeah, they did the right thing because he would not have been a good Thor.
Yeah.
He's just too lean. He's got the lean,
kind of thing.
He's got that lean muscle going on. You know, they made the right choice. Chris Hemsworth as Thor and him as Loki. I think it was perfect. But yeah, he put on 35 pounds of muscle before he ever went and did his, I wanted to say interview, but that's not the right thing. Before he tried out for the part.
Right.
But yeah, and they...
He trained for the role.
Oh, yeah.
Reapplied.
Oh, yeah. They go through, when there is a new Marvel movie coming out, those involved, they're put through a six-week training process. Their diet is strictly regulated. Their workout routines are custom made for each of them, and it is brutal.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Did a lot of research on it when we were doing the Avengers movies. Back when the podcast first started, when Barry and I were doing the Avengers movies, this was back damn near 2 years ago. Did a lot of research on it. So, all right, let's move on to Bods. Your number five.
Well, I thought we were cutting this to three.
Are we going to cut the guys to three, too? Okay.
Yeah, well, I really can't. Yeah, the guys, too.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Give me your five, four, and three all at once.
Okay. Liam Army.
Oh, I get to go first on this one. Okay. I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. I swear to God. Number three, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah. But the five and four, y'all are going to be like, what the hell is she smoking? Number five, Kevin McNally. Gibbs.
Oh.
Number four, Mackenzie Crook.
Ooh, sure.
And number three, Jack Davenport. Norrington.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
All right.
So what's the initial attraction points?
Okay, with Gibbs, he's just a big old bear. All right. He reminds me a lot of the biker guys I used to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, he loves to drink. He's all gruff and rah, 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 But really, Hayes more like a teen mom kind of character.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just, to me, that just spells sexy. So.
All right, cool. For me, he kind of reminds me of that cool uncle, you know, that wasn't great with hygiene.
Right.
and you love him, you know. Yeah, he's the guy from Fairview, you know, or whatever the name of that community is.
Right. Exactly. With Mackenzie Crook.
Yeah.
With Mackenzie Crook, it's more. He's such a sweetheart. He tries so hard not to let that sweet side show too much.
Yeah.
But between him and, his buddy,
the guy that was on The Walking Dead.
Yes, him. I know his name, I just can't call it right now.
Yeah, and we've talked about him before. He's actually got his own, like, pretty cool, crazy roles in other
films. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love him.
Me too. I love him, but I don't find him sexy, which is why he didn't make my list. But Mackenzie Crook, I mean, there's just something that is just...
Okay.
You just want to go, oh, come here. I mean, he's just adorable.
Yeah.
And Jack Davenport, he goes through the entire range. He loses his commission because he helps Jack and Will and Kiera and Elizabeth. So he loses his commission in the Queen's military. You know, he then turns into a pirate. Then he tries to redeem himself by becoming one of Cutler's men.
Yep.
And then truly redeems himself by giving his life to save Elizabeth's crew.
Yeah, you know, one of the best characters for sure.
Yes, he is one of those. He's a Neville Longbottom. Anybody who watches Harry Potter knows what I mean. He is a very understated character that you think from the beginning that he's just a bit player. But he turns out to be one of the major linchpins in the entire series.
Mm-mm. You know, he ends up being kind of a martyr.
But he doesn't do it to be a martyr. He does it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, which is, you know, what they do. But the thing about his character was you were there from the beginning, you know, and this, like, went on and on and on. And essentially, at the end, he sacrificed himself, and it was very endearing.
And, you know, when she slaps him with the line, at least I've chosen a side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see in the expressions on his face that he's thinking about what she has said.
Yep.
And then when he gives his life to save her crew, she says, "No, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm choosing a side."
Yep.
It's just, it's brilliant and it's heartbreaking and it's beautiful and it makes the character priceless.
Agreed. I mean, he's one of the absolute tops in the characters for the franchise for me.
Oh, yeah. So your top three, or your bottom three, sorry.
Well, I was going to go 3-1.
Well, no. 5-4-3. You never gave yours. I did mine.
5-4-3?
Yeah. Those were my 5-4-3. Or do you just want to go start with number two?
Well, I wanted to go 3, 2, and 1.
All right, do your three.
All right, I have some pretty great defensive positions for these because some of them are unconventional.
Well, the unconventional is fine. You don't have to be defensive. Go ahead.
All right, so number three. I'm going to go with Orlando Bloom.
Wow. He did not make my number one, by the way.
He didn't make my number one by a long shot. Because number one and number two are dominated.
Alrighty then. Now, Orlando Bloom is an amazing actor. I love him. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, He seemed almost a cardboard cutout.
I agree, and that's the thing. He was a cardboard cutout. He really was. He was the platform where they, you know, maybe launch some stories and that sort of thing, but that's kind of it.
Unfortunately for the actor, the character really kind of was just a pretty face.
Now, when we talk about defining characters, Orlando Bloom and The Lord of the Rings, that's his niche. That being said,
a blonde Orlando Bloom with elf ears, I'm done.
Apparently, that's the maximum. So that being said, in a way, the character was kind of meant to be a cardboard cutout, and they got the best guy.
They did. I'm afraid, though, that it might. I mean, it might have hurt his career. Really,
okay, I think so. I think so a little.
Because he is so much more than just a pretty face. Orlando Bloom is one of the most dynamic actors of this era. And to put him into that cardboard cutout role, it kind of diminished him a bit.
Yeah. He got too franchised.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've reviewed a couple of his films, and, you know, gentle listener, we would beg you to look up his filmography in Wiki.
Yes.
And it would probably surprise you on more than a couple of occasions. He does a lot of independent films, too.
Yes. And, babe, just podcast, you're fading. I don't know what's going on, but you're fading out a little bit. Pause. Sorry about that, guys. We're going to make some technical adjustments. Give us just a minute.
This should do it.
Let's see. A little bit more? Talk.
All right. Boost.
Better.
Okay.
All right. You're number two, because I went first last time. You're number two. You don't want to say this, do you?
It's controversial.
Okay.
When
have we ever been worried about being controversial?
So I'm going to go with Bill Nighy.
Okay. That is a sexy individual.
He is a silver fox,
yes,
madam.
The thing about it is he's not conventionally attractive.
Right.
But he's sexy as hell.
Right. His confidence. He knows who he is.
And he's not ashamed to let everybody know it.
You're right. He can actually break you if he wants to with like a couple of words.
But he chooses not to, which is why we love him.
Jen, yes, you get it. So my number two is Bill Nighy, and he did fantastic. Oh my God. You know, and I know that's a lot of CGI.
And it's a lot of prosthetics. But
yes,
you knew who it was behind all that plastic.
And you did.
The voice.
Yes.
God, all he'd have to do was talk to me.
Yeah, right. He's one of those guys that can basically recite the phone book, whispering it in your ear, and you're going to come.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, he could be reading the frigging encyclopedia. I wouldn't care.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Darth Vader and James Earl Jones and that voice.
Right. Why is it always the evil guys that have that voice? You're just like, oh. Right.
Gary Oldman's known for it.
Yes.
The live action and the voice. You're like, Jesus Christ. I kind of equate Bill Nighy a bit to Gary Oldman, but I've got to give more of the props to Bill Nighy. But they are definitely the similar creature.
Yes. I have to admit, you know, Oldman transforms for his roles. He really does. I lost my shit when I realized that was Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, right. I'm right?
like, okay, wow. That sexy motherfucker was that? Whoa!
Dracula?
Yeah. I mean, it blew mine. But Nighy does the same thing.
He was Victor.
He was Victor.
Yeah,
and
right.
Victor was a bad motherfucker, let me tell you.
All of a sudden up there with Darth Vader, a lot of people
Dude,
really appreciated
Victor killed
him.
His own daughter.
Yep.
All and you gotta say. I mean, he put his own daughter out in the sun because of who she fell in love with. Oh, he must have been a Republican.
Bleed him dry.
Sorry, all guys.
Right, so is it my turn for number one, or are you up?
I'm actually up. My number two. My number two was Orlando Bloom.
Okay, so what, your angles?
Same. We've discussed them.
Yep.
However, my number one. Since you were on the chopping block the last time, I will be on the chopping block this time.
Okay.
My number one sexiest man besides Johnny Depp, besides Captain Jack Sparrow of the Pirates of the Caribbean, is Chow Yun-Fat. In the third movie, the way he approaches Elizabeth when he thinks that she is Calypso,
yes,
is forceful and dynamic and sweet and loving, all wrapped up into one. It's so dynamic. I can't think of any other words to describe him. He's got such presence.
Yes.
You know, he's one of those that you may not hear him shout, but you'll damn sure listen when he whispers.
Yeah, right.
And it's just incredible the presence that he has and the command that he has. It's that confidence that you know, the same thing with Bill Nighy. I know who I am. And I don't have to prove myself to anyone. It's intoxicating, and I love it.
Well,
all right, you're number one.
So my number one is Chow Yun-Fat.
All right, your angle.
So hear me out.
Absolutely.
We've heard, you know, we've done the Japanese, Chinese, Korean kung fu movies in the 70s, dynamic action. We're doing that with the Jedi now, and it looks amazing. It gets thrown into Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Right.
And it makes sense. Actually, I think it was a great decision. And then you get Chow Yun-Fat.
Yep. Who does nothing but walk on screen and everybody goes,
It's like a whole other level. And I love Nighy, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it is the poses and stuff. Chow Yun-Fat was doing, like, the movements. He already had the whole, I own everybody here, probably in real life, if he wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's an accomplished actor also.
Yes. He is so incredible. Oh, and let me just point out, just in case any of you did not know, any of you that are involved in, like, the Jurassic Park series, Dr. Wu is in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
He is the first mate on Chow Yun-Fat's ship.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I had to point that out. Sorry.
But true. You know, I mean, they know. Hollywood knows all the great actors, and them getting Chow Yun-Fat, I mean, it just.
I don't even. I could not even imagine what they had to do. Of course, it's Pirates of the Caribbean. They may have just been like, hey, dude, you want to do this? He'd be like, yeah.
Yep, from my swagger. He literally is like, I'm doing Disney movies, goddamn it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sure.
Which, technically, that makes Chow Yun Fat a Disney prince.
He is a Disney prince.
Yes.
That does technically make him a Disney prince.
Yep.
And, so, you know, I like to think that he and Johnny probably got along really, really well.
Oh, they probably did. I can, considering the fact that both of them smoke, and both of them smoked on set, like, not weed. I'm not sure about Chow Yun Fat. I'm not going there. But okay. Johnny, I saw an interview not too long ago. He's sitting on one of the talk shows, and he's rolling one of his cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, see, there's a loophole for actors in the law that states that we cannot smoke on set, inside a building, blah, blah, blah. He says, there's a loophole. This is not a cigarette. This is a prop. This is a prop. And he finishes rolling his cigarette. He puts it in his mouth. He takes a lighter out of his pocket, lights it up, and he's like, do you have an ashtray? Because it is a prop, but I don't want to get ashes everywhere.
I need an additional prop.
But yeah, that's how they get away with that. Because I've wondered a couple of, because there's several different movies that you see them smoking, and you know it's a closed set, blah, blah, blah. That's how, because it's a prop.
Gotcha.
I'm sure Chow Yun Fat's probably the one who was like, Johnny, hey Johnny, come here. You don't have to go outside. You just call it a prop.
Do we need to test your set of props? Let's go.
Yup.
Let's make sure these burn well for the scene.
Oh yeah. Oh, on an aside, with one of the movies, and I'm trying to remember which one, Johnny was supposed to be smoking a joint with somebody, probably Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. But he's supposed to be smoking a joint. Well, the other actor had fake joints rolled up and set aside. That's what he was going to be smoking because he didn't smoke weed.
That was probably Benicio del Toro.
So, Johnny lights up a joint, or a prop, and they go back and forth between them. And after the scene, the other actor's going, I don't think that was the right prop. And Johnny goes, oh no, that's wake and bake, baby.
This was like prop accidents on the set.
Yep, that is wake and bake, baby.
Yep.
Oh, we are so good. We're at 58 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, contact information. You give them yours and I'll give them ours.
So, always Mako, M-A-K-O, 3303, no spaces, at hotmail.com. And because we're getting towards the new year, I'm going to be making 3 new Ghost Mode files for Ghost Recon Wildlands. And so I am heavily on PlayStation Network now.
Always. Well, you're always heavily on PlayStation Network, but there is nothing wrong with that.
Well, this is my latest excuse.
There you go. Okay, but, so I want to know, who are you making excuses for? Sorry, guys.
This is true. When I get 50, I don't have to do it.
That's right.
You're very close.
Yep, you are free and well over 21, which we won't say how far well over, but free and over 21, you can do whatever the hell you'd like.
Holy shit, I'm about to turn 53. Holy shit.
And you don't look a day over 40.
Anyway, on PlayStation Network, I am a Traveler 2300, no spaces, 2 L's, and thank you, Jim.
All right, guys. By the way, My co-host's birthday is November 2nd. Our contact information, you can go to depthheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. Or, I'm sorry, Yahoo. Where the hell did that come from? Is it Yahoo or Hotmail? It is Yahoo. Sorry. I've been listening to him too long. Yep. depthheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. Or you can go to our blog, which is depthheadshiddlestoners.com. Or you can go to barryreese.net, click on the link. By the way, Barry's book is doing quite well. Might want to pick up a copy before they're sold out. Straw Man Episode 1 or Volume 1. And I've been promised to be put in the next one. So keep an eye out for Jenny Finn. She's going to be in Straw Man Number 2.
Is he publishable on Amazon?
He is actually through Prose Publishing. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're the ones who gave him his first start, and he is nothing if not loyal. So he tends to stick with them.
So you can buy it at their website?
Oh, yeah, you can buy it off of Amazon. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
You can go to, or you can go to his website and buy it. Or you can just look up Straw Man, and it'll take you right to the right place to go. We also have our dedicated phone line, which is 949-373-5476. And even if we do not answer that line, we will get back with you if you leave us a message. I promise you that. Anything else, babe?
Nope.
Think that's it. Nope. All right.
Actually, I do encourage guys, if you've got Amazon Prime, watch Gen V.
So it's good?
Oh, it's good.
All right. Now, Arnold, see, I could not, I could not take the carnage of the boys. So,
well, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's son's big debut.
Oh, like, wow. It's worth watching just for that, then.
Well, he dies at the end of episode one.
Oh, well, that kind of sucks.
But it's an amazing death, and they end it with him essentially exploding with them playing Celebrity Skin by Hole.
Oh, damn! All right, yeah, I got to watch this now. Damn it, Carrie! Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, we will catch you next time. This was podcast number 92. Next time, we're doing 93. 94 will be recorded in Mobile, and 95 will be, dun, 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 our 2-year anniversary.
Yep. And then we get 100.
And then shortly after that, first week in November, or first week in December, I do believe, will be, you figured that one out, will be the 100th episode. Even if we decide to do a season 2 and not continue to count up, we will still announce the 100th episode.
Yeah.
So we'll catch you guys next time. Be sweet, be safe.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Jen.
Peace and love.
Love and peace, guys. Next time.
Bye-bye.